The following sermon was delivered by Rabbi Joshua Davidson on Saturday, April 4th, 2015.
In the spirit of the Passover Seder, we're going to do a little bit of learning together. So if you're in the nether reaches of the sanctuary and you want to come a little bit closer so that we can study, please do. Feel free to come up front. Each of you received, when you entered, a copy of our service handout, and I'll be referring to that in a few moments. As I mentioned earlier, on numerous occasions, the Torah commands us to remember that we were slaves in Egypt. But four times in particular, the Torah commands us to teach our children about the Passover. The first of these admonitions comes in this morning's special Holy Day reading, and I've included them all in the middle of your handout. So please open that and follow along with me. The first from this morning's reading, Exodus chapter 12, verses 26 and 27. And when your children ask you, "What do you mean by this rite?" you shall say, "It is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord, because he passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians, but saved our houses." And then there are three additional admonitions. In the next chapter, Exodus 13, verse 8, "And you shall explain to your son on that day, 'It is because of what the Lord did for me when I went free from Egypt.'" A few verses later, "And when, in time to come, your son asks you, saying, 'What does this mean?' you shall say to him, 'It was with a mighty hand that the Lord brought us out from Egypt, the house of bondage.'" Finally, in the book of Deuteronomy, "When, in time to come, your children ask you, 'What mean the decrees, laws, and rules that the Lord our God has enjoined upon you?' you shall say to your children, 'We were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord freed us from Egypt with a mighty hand.'" Now, for those of you who attended Seder last evening, these may seem familiar. With which part of the Seder are they associated? Beg your pardon? The four sons, right. Or we might say the four children. Now, the rabbis asked why the Torah's repetition. And the answer comes at the end of the following Mishnah. So again, read with me. This is from Pesachim, chapter 10, Mishnah 4. "They poured out for him the second cup," or in other words, when the second cup was poured. And here the child asks his father, and if the child has insufficient understanding, his father instructs him, "Wherefore is this night different from all other nights? Because on all other nights we may eat both leavened and unleavened bread, but on this night only leavened bread. Because on all other nights we may eat any kind of herbs, but on this night bitter herb. Because on all other nights we may eat flesh which is roasted, cooked, or boiled, but on this night entirely roasted. Because on all other nights we might dip once, but on this night twice." And according to the knowledge of the child, his father instructs him. He begins with the shameful tale and ends with the praiseworthy narrative. And he explains, "My ancestor was a wandering Aramean," until he concludes the whole portion. The shameful tale is the reference to our beginnings as wandering Arameans. Okay, the beginning of this particular Mishnah is not actually about the four sons or the four children. What's it about? The four questions, exactly. Now, the Seder is designed as a teaching ritual. Some scholars have suggested that it's actually modeled on the Greco-Roman symposium. The unusual symbols can't help but inspire children to ask questions. The matzah, the bitter herb, the dipping of the parsley to recall the dipping of the hyssop, I'll read about that, in blood to place on the doorposts. But one of the questions here is not the way it appears in the Haggadah. Which one? The question question about the roasting. Now you're nodding. The question of the roasting of the Paschal lamb, that's not in our Haggadah. Which one replaces that? Reclining. Yeah. Why do we eat this night in a comfortable way? But returning to the question of why the Torah tells us four times to teach our children about the Passover, the answer was actually derived from the end of this Mishnah. Any guesses as to the answer? It's toward the very end. After the questions, we see that line, and according to the knowledge of the child, his father instructs him. So we teach according to the child's ability. And in the collection of Midrash known as the Mechilta, the rabbis draw from the biblical repetitions the answers that we might offer to different types of learners. So we're commanded four times to teach our children, the rabbis say, because there are different types of learners. And from those four repetitions, the rabbis draw the answers that we might give to each. So we come to the Mechilta of Rabbi Ishmael. And now this will seem very familiar to you. What mean the decrees, laws, and rules? You find that you have to say, there are four types of sons. The wise, the simpleton, the wicked, and the one who does not know enough to ask. The wise, what does he say? What mean the decrees, laws, and rules that the Lord our God has enjoined upon you? That's quoting Deuteronomy 6:20. And you explain to him in turn the laws of the Passover and tell him that the company is not to disband immediately after partaking of the Paschal lamb. There should follow epikomen, afikomen. The simpleton, what does he say? What is this? And thou shalt say unto him, it was with a mighty hand that the Lord brought us out from Egypt, the house of bondage. That's Exodus 13:14. The wicked one, what does he say? What do you mean by this rite? Because he excludes himself from the group, do thou also exclude him from the group and say unto him, it is because of what the Lord did for me, but not for you. Had you been there, you would not have been redeemed. As for him who does not know enough to ask, you should begin and explain to him, for it is said, and you shall explain to your son on that day. And this is essentially what we find in the Haggadah. So now I would ask, and we should explore, why is each answer the right one for each child? So first, why is this the right answer for the wise child? Any thoughts? Somebody take a guess. Beg your pardon? Yeah, you know, the wise child asks a very detailed question. What do you mean by the decrees, laws, and rules that the Lord our God has enjoined upon us? And to someone who asks a question in that level of detail, you respond with an appropriate level of detail. The simple child, why is this the right answer for the simple child? Remember, his answer was much shorter. It was with a mighty hand that the Lord brought us out from Egypt, the house of bondage. Why is that the right answer for the simple child? It's all he might be able to understand. So for the simple child, the most important message is the one that has to get through. And it's not the details of the Seder. The most important message is that of God's redemptive power. So you deliver it directly. Now, the wicked child. Why is this the right answer for the wicked child? Yeah, so good. He excludes himself. So in asking the question, call it out, Betty Jane, what does he say? Right, exactly. What do you mean by this right? So he excludes himself, and so you give an answer that the rabbis say sets his teeth on edge and helps him understand that if he's going to exclude himself, then in fact he would have been excluded from the redemption itself. What do you think that means, that he would not have been redeemed? Would have been judged unworthy of redemption. I heard another answer. Just call it louder. Say again. He wouldn't have gotten out of Egypt. Well, or not into the Holy Land. It's hard to know exactly what the rabbis mean by this. Martin Buber offered a really wonderful answer. He said that the miracle of the redemption was not, in fact, that the Israelites passed through the Red Sea, escaped Egypt, and made it into the Holy Land. The miracle of redemption was that they attributed it to God. So it could be that the wicked one would have made it out of Egypt and made it into the Holy Land, but he never would have seen it as a result of God's miraculous deliverance. Now, there's a little bit of an irony here, because in truth, the wise child's question also says you, doesn't it? Look back to the wise child's question. He also says you. But in his question, something else is included. Whom does the wise child mention in his question? God. The wise child mentions God. So the wicked child sees only the responsibility, not the one who commands it. According to the Palestinian Talmud, the wise child perceives avodah as divine service. The wicked one sees it only as servitude or bondage. The rabbis, in fact, call the wicked child a kofer be'ikar, one who denies the very essence of faith. Now, the rabbis wonder what engenders the wicked child's attitude. And they suggest, in fact, that it may come back to pedagogy. If you look back at the Torah texts, some of them refer to child in the singular, others to children in the plural. And the Maharal of Prague suggests that even when we're teaching groups of children together, each one has to be recognized as an individual. When we fail to do so and ignore each individual's learning needs, he or she may fall behind and feel excluded from the community. Hence, you and not us. Okay, last child. Why is this the correct answer for the one who does not know how to ask? Beg your pardon? Need more time, talk to him later in the day. But upon whom is the burden for teaching placed, for the one who doesn't know how to ask? The parent, him or herself. You shall explain to your son, your child, on that day. The one who does not know how to ask still needs to be taught. It's up to us to begin the teaching. Now, our tradition says that just as we are to respond to each learner in a different way, so God revealed the Torah to each Israelite according to his or her capacity. The children heard it one way, the adults another, the elders another. Moses heard it in its greatest complexity. According to the learner, that is how God taught. According to the learner, that is how we are to teach. So if you're participating in a second Seder tonight, you should feel free to bring this teaching with you. I'll be reading, as I said, Exodus chapter 12, verses 21 through 28, and you can follow along on page 137 of the Bible for the honor of the Aliyah we call on Adrian.